Warning, the radio broadcast you're about to hear was made by men and for men. It may at times seem a little rough around the edges, brash, and certainly not canonically approved by papal authority. But its content may indeed challenge you to become the man, father, or husband God has called you to be. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another week of The Obligation. My name is Jason Murphy. So glad you are here. What a time it is to be Catholic. And I don't mean be Catholic. I mean live Catholic. We are in a world of disarray and apparent disembowelment of anything Christian in this world. In this circle here, we are in the good fight. We had a great conversation the other day on an Instagram Live with traditional Catholic men. Daniel Vu hosted us. And we had a great chat round robin with Men of the Martyrs Walk. One of the points that was brought up, and I believe Daniel brought it up, was, will you die Catholic? You know, that's something I don't think we ever think about. We think about being Catholic, becoming Catholic, maintaining our Catholicity. But you know, in the end, we will all face that. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Will you die Catholic? And what are you doing about it? You know, if you're not thinking about that, it is something we definitely need to be thinking about on a daily basis, on an hourly basis, because the enemy goes about like a roaring lion and we are his prey, only if we allow it. I'm super excited today. Had the opportunity to go on Red Top Report, the Church Militant's Red Top Report last week. Had a great time there with Joe Enders and Ronan Torrance. And I am super excited. They are returning the favor. And I've got Joe Enders with me today. I am so glad to have you here. And I know Ronan's got your back in the background there, but Joe, hey, it is great to have you, man. Thanks for being on The Obligation.
Oh no, I wouldn't miss it for the world. I love that there's other men out there reaching out to Catholic men, because the church is not providing. It's something you said in the other episode. The church isn't there. The church is filled with old ladies. So I just can't speak enough to all the young Catholic men in the world to, you know, learn your faith, understand your faith, and get out there and start spreading it. And that's what you're doing. I love it.
No, it's our duty, brother. You know, we were called to that. And if we're not doing that, we are doing not only the others around us a disservice, but we are doing a disservice to ourselves, because we are, you know, I've made that comparison, you know, the domestic church, I think, many Catholics and for many years, maybe, you know, outside of my realm, you know, you think of the domestic church as just your immediate family, your children, as a married individual, but that is far larger. You know, we, you know, whether we're married, not married, kids, no kids, you know, we are those priests in a sense of those domestic churches that we are in, you know, in our businesses, in our church environments, out there in society. So we have to keep up that good fight. So, you know, I'm so glad you guys are here. Before, usually what we do here on The Obligation, I love, you know, I'm a big revert. I lived many, many years as a pagan. And thanks be to God, I was able to change my life. And, you know, for me, it happened through the traditional Latin Mass. It came as a just, you know, out of the blue. Hadn't been to Mass, hadn't been to church. You know, was pretty much an atheist for many years. Walked in one day and it changed my life every Sunday afterwards. So that's kind of my nutshell story. But I like to hear, you know, from my guests, kind of, you know, what was your faith walk like, you know, growing up, you know, how things went, where you went, and then, you know, how you got where you are, you know, with the Church Militant on Red Top Report, you know, an amazing story, you know, tell our guests a little bit about that.
Oh, you're in for it. So yeah, I'm actually initially from Chicago. And I grew up in Chicagoland, I should say. I grew up in the west suburbs, and I grew up in my younger years kind of in more like a working class family and stuff. And there was and then, you know, my parents wound up getting a divorce when I was around 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And then I actually started to go through some real suffering. I was homeless for about 6 months in that situation. And I was, and we were in shelters that had gang members and lots of actually, you know, really, really hardcore characters throughout there. And then after that, we actually got France. We actually got transferred from there into a townhome that was provided to us by Catholic Charities. This is my mom. And we suffered there for a long time because, if you guys don't know, if Catholic Charities gives you a house, it's usually not in the nicest neighborhood. We were in a Section 8 neighborhood and in one of the west suburbs of Chicago called Carroll Stream. And there's like, it's actually a nice suburb. You know, you have like green everywhere when you look at like the crime map. And then there's where we had our house. And it's just like this nice little section of dark orange for crime. So most of my friends growing up were, you know, were rappers, aspiring basketball players and gang members. Mm. So, you know, it was a very rough culture that I grew up in, but it was also a culture that made me know that I had to be tough in the face of adversity. And I broke down many times. I failed, you know, I fornicated. I did all sorts of very bad things for my soul. And I was always Catholic, and it was always kind of beside me through my entire faith walk. But there was one point where things just got so bad, where I just broke down and went to church. I learned that there is no retreat from any fight in your life except for the church. You can always run into the church. Hmm. And ever since then, I was walking a faith journey. You know, God somehow got me into a private school in New York City because I got a letter of recommendation written by Charlie Kirk because I did conservative political activism. You know, and then after that, I went to do some political work. And then I was unemployed for a year and a half because I got blacklisted by the Republican establishment and the misandrist wing of the pro-life movement for supporting traditional gender roles and saying women belong in the home.
Yeah, that'll get you in trouble.
All of this happens, right? This is what I was saying. I was like, you're in for it. I can't believe you asked me this question.
And then
after a year and a half of unemployment, I was driving an Uber for a year and a half. I was just trying to get as much money as I could possibly can to pay all my bills to make ends meet. And somebody just texted me, hey, you should apply to this place called Church Militant. And I was praying in adoration, like, you know, 3 days a week. I was like, God, send me where you need to send me. I know I'm made for more. Please let me do your will. And here I am today, right here, hosting Red Top Report for Church Militant.
That's beautiful, man. No, it's God will use us, you know, if we're open and willing and asking for that. And as you sit there and I sit here, we are testimony to that. You know, my initial reversion, of course, I wasn't praying for anything. I was just hitting rock bottom and begging for God to save me because I didn't have anywhere else to fall. I was at the lowest point of my life. But now to this point, fast forward, you know, after 20 years of being in real estate and construction and really just not feeling that I'm meeting God's purpose. I'm not living the way that he wants me to live. I'm not using the time, the talent, the treasures he's given me. And so I began a small pivot. And, you know, it began, I would say, probably with the pandemic. It's when, you know, I kind of pulled back. Things are kind of crazy. And it started kind of a chain of events. You know, it's amazing that God will take, you know, whatever or hardship. And he always finds the straight way, the crooked way turns straight, you know, through that. And through all of that, it began a progression of, you know, seeking more, knowing that I was called to more, being involved with men's ministries. And I became open. I'm like, you know, Lord, I don't know where you want me. I have no idea. I was thinking of all sorts of things, restaurants, bait shops, charter fishermen, you know, something else. But I wasn't thinking big, you know, and before I know it, the Martyr's Walk was formed. You know, it just became to fruition. And as I began to share it, it began to kind of spread, you know, and it seems like it's sort of spreading like wildfire. Don't know where it'll go. You know, it might just be a nice little run. We might have some great conversations like we're having and inspire some guys. But you know, we're certainly open. But you know, that reminds me, and I know we were going to talk about this. It reminds me from a quote from an article you wrote, the unconditional duty of a Christian man, suffer well. And that resonates really deep with me because I heard in part of the Martyr's Walk, I heard a clip from Father Ripinger, and that was one of the main statements he said. You know, the fundamental failure of modern man is his inability to suffer. We don't know what that is in this world. Yep. And so, you know, when you know, you mentioned this article to me, I read through it, and there is a quote here from St. Alphonsus de Liguori. And this is how I've related with our walk now, with the Martyr's Walk. And the quote goes like this: "We ought to regard all things that do or will happen to us as proceeding from God's hands. And everything that we do, we should direct to this one end, the fulfillment of his will." And that could be for whatever, you know, whether we, you know, whether something succeeds or whether it fails, we are doing everything for the work of God. You know, tell us a little bit about this, because this is an amazing article. It can be found on based.inc, www.based.inc, The Unconditional Duty of a Christian Man, Suffer Well. You know, how did you come up with this? And tell us a little bit about that article.
Well, I mean, I think the main inspiration, and that's why I'm glad you asked for my story before we even went into this, because it actually provides a lot of context. I had to learn that the hard way. You know what I mean? I didn't get a lot of choices. I had my first job at 14 years old counting night crawlers at a bait shop because we had to make ends meet. My sister needed diapers. So, you know, you look at things like that. Nothing ever got better until I recognized that the suffering was purposeful. That's what Alphonsus Liguori is talking about there. This is why he's a doctor of the church. This is why we love St. Alphonsus Liguori, because he provides us a roadmap, and that's the beginning of the roadmap. In order to suffer well, the first thing that you have to do is accept that it's God's will. You can't do anything else. You can't develop the fortitude to overcome it without recognizing that it's God's will, because otherwise it's just purposeless suffering. You're just falling in the void. There's nothing good that you can possibly make out of it, except the fact that, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Well, what's the point of getting stronger if it's not to fulfill God's will? And, you know, I wanted to go deeper into that. And the second step to this is to develop your fortitude, right? Humility is step number one. Step number two, develop some fortitude. Suffering is going to be in your life no matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you're Catholic, pagan, Islamic, Jewish, it doesn't matter what you are, you're going to suffer. The question is, how equipped are you to deal with it? This means you need to develop fortitude. This means you need to push yourself. When suffering comes in your life, you need to trudge forward once you have that humility that this is God's will and say, God would not put any suffering in my life that I can't overcome. Otherwise he would have created me to be damned to hell, wouldn't he? If I can't overcome the suffering that he puts in my life, if I'm not capable of it, or I don't have the capacity to do it, well, then I'm damned. I mean, there's no way I'm gonna fail. I've failed as a human being. I've failed as a creation. And it was a failure from the beginning because I never had the capacity to overcome it. You can overcome it. You were created to overcome it. This is what I mean. And I find this probably to be the hardest part for men, I think, because men today, I should say modern man, men today, like you said, don't know suffering. They live in this consumeristic culture where it just says, all right, we just need to stave off the next bit of dopamine, or we need to get our next little hit of dopamine so we're able to move forward in our lives to cope with the fact that they're suffering. Everyone's coping. Nobody is offering.
You know, there's so many things there. You know, that just resonates, you know, with the pharmaceutical industry. Yep. And our whole medical system. Our medical system is basically designed to treat the symptoms. We don't go deeper. You know, my dad died of kidney cancer that could have easily been found if they were dug a little deeper, but they kept throwing pain meds on him because they thought he had back pain.
Yeah.
So for 3 or 4 years, the man's complaining of back pain. They're not doing, you know, they do a little scan. It doesn't go far enough down and they miss it. And I'm not blaming him. You know, it's God's will, you know, I accept that, but that's just an example, but so many others. I mean, turn on the TV and watch, you know, watch any show for an hour and see how many pharmaceutical ads, you know, covering up, band-aiding the problem. and then band-aiding the problem with another band-aid, because this drug is going to give you the side effects that you need to take the other drug for. And it's a continuum. You know, but in that suffering, God, there's so much here. You know, isn't it an invitation? Like every piece of suffering in your life is almost like it's like a carrot in front of you that God's like, just come to me, just come, just acknowledge me, just unite it with me. All of that. And we miss so much of it. I miss so much of it, you know, in our daily life. I mean, I've got six kids, I've got suffering. I don't have to go looking far. It's going to find me, you know, whether it's noise or whether it's stuff or whatever, you know, kids getting, you know, bumps on the heads. I mean, there's always something you're going to suffer, but how do you suffer it? Do you just complain about it? Do you cover it up? Do you turn the music up louder so you don't hear it? You know, if you don't lean into it, we ultimately, if you're going to live with our Lord, you are going to have to learn to suffer. And you're going to have to take that suffering and unite it with him and his suffering and his sacrifice for us. And that is just foreign to this world. There's so much grace and suffering.
I'll tell you one thing. You're going to have to learn to suffer whether you're, you know, whether you believe in God or not, you know, that's the main thing. But I want to touch on specifically what you said, because this is the bottom half of the article. Yeah. You're hitting the nail on the head. Catholics, this is what's so beautiful about the Catholic faith. And this is what really turned the ancient world on its head when Christianity really started hitting the scene. And it's the idea that we are not hedonists and we are not Stoics. We are neither of those things. We acknowledge the good of our passions. We acknowledge that God gave us our passions. Our passions are good. However, we need to master them. We need to know how to use them. We're not going to say never feel anything, so you can't feel happiness, you can't feel joy, you can't feel pleasure. Catholics don't say that. We don't say every time something's bad in your life, you should go seek pleasure or do something like that. We don't say that either. That is a rejection of hedonism, and that is a rejection of Stoicism. Both are rejected. What we are supposed to do is we are supposed to celebrate when it is appropriate and enjoy pleasure when it is appropriate, and unite our pain and our suffering and feel that as well. But we need to unite it with the cross, because we have something that Stoicism and hedonism could never provide. And that is someone to give it and take it from us. And I'm talking about the cross. The cross is the thing that you can take all of your suffering in your life and simply say, take it, please, Lord, you can have this. I offer this to you.
And that's love, right?
That's pure love. That's love in its purest form. Yeah. Is I will take on this burden for you, for your betterment, for your growth, for your love of me, all of these other things that go along with the Catholic faith. And this is the hardest. This is another hard part. Is that you have to practice this. You know, we don't need to beat Stoicism as much in this culture. There are some men that are more Stoic. I think there are plenty of young men that are kind of trying to run towards Stoicism, but I would strongly recommend against running into that. It is a very bleak life, and it is a life that will eventually implode. You can't hold in your emotions your entire life and simply not feel. But the main problem is hedonism, and the best way to deal with hedonism is to start practicing self-denial. If you want something, just don't give yourself it once in a while. Let's say you really want to eat today. Don't. Just for a day. Don't. You can learn so much from that. It's good for your body. It's good for your soul. It's good for your mind. And that's what we're really calling people to do, specifically these men in the West who are living in a decadent culture that actually has, this is what blows my mind, that actually has time to think about all the different ways that you can participate in sexual excess. Do you think the medieval peasants were thinking about this? Are you kidding me? Do you think they were thinking about homosexuality? You think they were thinking about non-binary gender? None of this mattered because they were too busy suffering. Live in your suffering. Embrace your suffering. If God puts suffering in your life, don't say, oh, you know, I don't, you know, oh, how do I get rid of this? I want it to go away, this, that, and the other. No, pound your chest and say, bring it on.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what masculinity is. That's the essence of Christian masculinity.
100%. Well said. I think we are going to have to jump off. You're listening to The Obligation, talking to Joe Enders from the Red Top Report. Having a great conversation, and we'll be right back.
As the secular world continues to attack manhood, the home, and Christianity, the time has come for the steadfast men of the kingdom to take a stand. Men have become far too at ease, complacent, and careless in their roles as the men, fathers, and spouses that God has called them to be. The remedy for this apathy is the Martyr's Walk. The Martyr's Walk seeks to push each man to his breaking point in mind, body, and soul, allowing him to recognize the self-made constraints and obstacles he has imposed on himself and permitted others to impose on him fall well short of his God-given potential for greatness. The only competition a man will face on this walk will be himself. The walk takes place August 24th through the 26th in North Carolina. Go to themartyrswalk.com and fill out an application today. Will you be ready?
Did you know that 90% of older adults wish to stay in their home as they age? Aging in place has many benefits. It tends to improve quality of life, which in return improves physical health. Also, retaining independence as we age is critically important to our mental health. Hi, my name is Meredith Dignan, and I am the president of Harmony Home Solutions and an active parishioner of St. Patrick Cathedral. We are your trusted partner for aging in place. We strive to enhance the lives of older adults and their families by providing premier aging-in-place and universal design lifestyle solutions that increase safety beautifully. Now is the time to get your aging-in-place plan in order with Harmony Home Solutions. Visit our website today at hhsclt.com. Again, that's hhsclt.com. Or give us a call at 980-220-8821. Again, that's 980-220-8821. We want to help you live an empowered and beautiful life.
And we're back. Thanks for sticking around. My name is Jason Murphy. You're listening to The Obligation, and I am sitting down with Joe Enders, Church Militant's Red Top Report, having a great talk about suffering, leaning into the pain, being a man. Really, that's what a man. You know, I was watching the Red Top Report the other day, you know, the show that that we did last week. And of course, that can be found on YouTube. You can find it as well from Church Militant's website, churchmilitant.com. Scrolling through there, you got kind of worked up there, and I enjoyed it. And you know, you had a line there. Where's the battle theology? You know, you were the battle theology, and I'm like, yes. Where's the battle theology? You know, for those who may not have heard that term, let's talk about some battle theology.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, when I brought that up, I was asking an honest question about the state of the church. You were talking about the liturgical abuses in the church, yep. Communion in the hand, liturgical abuse, mm-hmm. Versus populum, or what I think that's what it would be versus populorum. I don't know how you, I'm not a Latin expert, guys. Bear populum. With me. Populum.
Populum. Yeah.
Liturgical abuse. These are not even what everybody complains
altar
about.
Altar girls.
Yeah, all of that. Altar girls. All of these other things. This is all to appeal to, you know, a feminine sense of the faith, a sense of love and care, a sense of all these different feminine things. And it's good that there is, you know, feminine traits involved, because we do obviously want women at Mass too. We want femininity to also be something that, you know, that the church is trying to attract into itself. However, there's nothing right now for men.
Yeah.
There's nothing for men. And that's why when you go into the churches, it's filled with a bunch of old ladies.
Yeah.
And if it's not filled with a bunch of old ladies, it's filled with a bunch of quiet, effeminate men that don't want to go out into the world and fight at all. And why is that? Why is that? Because there is no battle theology. This idea that we are in a lifelong struggle against the forces of evil. We are part of Saint Michael's crusade against the demonic. We are playing part in that battle. We're going into, we're the church militant, as you said.
That's right.
We are the church militant. We are fighting evil. We are fighting demons. We are literally fighting demons. We are fighting people who have demons whispering in their ears. I'm talking about George Soros, Klaus Schwab, Joe Biden, all these people that have demons whispering into their ears, telling us what to do, you know, what to do with our faith, how to live our faith, what we can and can't do in public as far as expressing our faith. That's why we have a bunch. That's why we have a bunch of drag queens going and marching on the LA Dodgers stadium and sacrilegiously, you know, blaspheming our Lord. Mm-mm. That's the situation that we're in right now. And Catholics aren't showing up. Why? Why aren't Catholics showing up? Because they don't think they don't think that this is a war. They don't think that we're going out and fighting against actual evil. We're not taught that. We're taught to go into the world and pat everybody on the back and say, oh, you're suffering. It'll be okay. Pray to Jesus. It'll get better. Okay. Maybe. Maybe. And that's the best part. Maybe it'll get better.
Yeah. You know, I saw a video this morning, you know, just some school, elementary school, you know, celebrating pride. And they had the rainbows and they had the drag queens and they're just ushering them in and everybody's all excited. At least the parents and the teachers are. The kids are like, this is weird. You know, what are you doing? And, you know, I can parallel that with what the church has been doing. And I might get in trouble for making this comparison, but that's what men feel like when they walk into a church that's filled with feminine led everything, feminine music. You know, we go to church sometimes. We go to the TLM as much as we can. We don't get to go every Sunday, especially if we're out of town. You know, we're going to have to tuck it in and roll into the local Novus Ordo. And we've seen some things, but the biggest thing I see is that we are usually 90% of the kids. Okay. I got six kids. It is only, you know, if you're looking at good Catholics there, you know, only six kids, but out of the whole church of 500 people, those are probably out of maybe at the most, you know, 10 kids that are under age 12.
Yeah.
What it exudes. And so this whole pride, this artificial pride things being shoved on the kids are confused. My wife was at the store the other day and this woman had a little boy there, four or five years old, supposed to be buying some flip-flops. And she's like, well, which ones do you want? Do you want the pink ones or do you want the purple ones? Didn't ask what color he wanted, limited him to the pink or the purple. It's like, it's being forced. It's evil, yeah. Man. It's freaking evil. And it is not Pride Month. It is not Pride Month. It is the month of the Sacred Heart. And we will celebrate the Sacred Heart of Jesus on June 16th. Pride is the fall of the enemy. Okay. And so if you're living that, you're celebrating that, you need to do some real, I don't even call it soul searching because that sounds so modern and just, you know, just religious, I guess. I don't know what the word, you know, you need to be praying. You need to be thinking about that, especially if you're Catholic. And we've seen these Catholic churches, the Vatican embassy, I think, flying a pride flag. You know, you see it all over. And, you know, we don't want to talk about the James Martins of the world, but you know, what a mess.
They've declared war. We just haven't declared that we're defending ourselves yet. And that's kind of the main problem that I have with all of these things. And you know what? You said to pray. Yeah. At minimum, that better be the least of what you're doing is praying. Yeah. Prayer exists to provoke action.
Yeah.
Right. This is something that men are missing. You need to be going out there and doing things. And you know what? I'm not trying to toot my own horn here. I just want to say this as an example. I was doing an interview with Jesse Romero, and I told him that there are men in G-strings twerking in front of four-year-olds. Why aren't you out there saying something? Why isn't every single Catholic that you see in the pews on Sunday going out there and talking and talking about this, condemning it and countering it, all of it? Why are there people not showing up to these things? So when we found out, Red Top Report, both Ronan and I said, there's a drag queen event that's going to be going on in Royal Oak, right up the road from the Church Militant Studio. yeah, you better believe we're going to show up. And we were praying there and we were yelling the St. Michael prayer in Latin at the other protests. And guess what? It got real quiet when that happened. And those people spat on the holy water I was blessing the ground with. Those people hissed while I was praying the rosary. And you're trying to tell me that we're not at war with demons right now? You're trying to tell me that this war isn't spiritual at its core? I went out and debated with people, and there was a guy who came up and said, I'm a Christian. There was a person on the gay side holding up a rosary at me. You're holding up a rosary. And I told her, put it away like 10 times, and eventually it went away. She put it back in her pocket because I'm like, you are not an authentic Catholic. You are using your faith to support the demonic. And this is exactly why we just recently condemned The Chosen as well, yep, for them allowing the display. I know that they didn't put it up there. I know that the show's creators themselves aren't going out and promoting it, but they allowed the calling card of the devil.
Absolutely.
Which is the gay pride flag. It represents pride itself, which is the sin of the devil.
You know how careful they are with every single shot? I mean, if there's a logo, if there's a t-shirt with a logo, or if there's a car with a symbol and they haven't got a sponsorship from that particular company, it's edited out. They are super careful. And so that's why I can't accept that and will not accept that, that just somehow escaped and got out there. You know, there's not infiltrators on their set. You know how difficult it is to get on a set like that? That was out there by someone specifically. And if they don't have, a counter response to that, and they're just going to say, oh, well, we don't support and we didn't endorse, BS, you did. Your non-action endorsed it. So, oh man, this is, Joe, you're not the guy for me to bring on here. I'm already a wired up dude.
No, more of it. We need this from Catholic men.
Yeah.
Why aren't you angry?
Yeah.
It's okay to be angry. As a matter of fact, Thomas Aquinas says, if you're not angry at the injustices of the world, you are doing something wrong. You are doing something wrong.
Yeah.
So there needs to be some real soul searching amongst these pudgy, puffy men that think that they can just sit in their pews every Sunday and watch the world burn.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. No. I know you're not going to do that. Mm-mm. This isn't the Catholic world needs a wake up call.
Absolutely.
And that wake up call is getting out there and getting in the fight. And I believe on June 16th, Ronan, I know this is the case, but on June 16th, Church Militant is going to be there protesting the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence and denouncing them and doing a prayer rally there. They're showing up. So I suggest every single young man in California, and I mean in California, yeah, you can drive for 6 or 7 hours to get there, guys. Get over there and start fighting. Because I've had enough. I've had enough of the laziness, the sitting around. I'm done.
Yeah.
Get out there.
Yeah, agreed. You know, you hear, especially the keyboard warriors, well, I want to do this, but I just can't find anybody to come and do that. Yeah, no, go do it yourself. I mean, it is harder. I'm not going to argue that. It is harder, but it's necessary. You know, it is necessary for us to get out there, especially now. We don't have church leaders leading. You know, there's a handful of good bishops and cardinals that are being vocal and that are speaking out, but they're very limited. You know, there's a couple of priests, scattered across our country. I don't know how many thousands of priests we have, but there's a handful that are, being brave enough. You know, will the church back them? Will the church stand up for them? I don't know. Because it's not looking very promising right now, but from the quote of Archbishop Fulton Sheen, it's not the bishops, it is the laity's duties.
Yep. Yeah. It's up to the laity, and yep, that's hitting the nail on the head. And I want to point out too, just so you guys are aware, Bishop Strickland is going to be there. His Excellency from Tyler, Texas, coming all the way up to LA to support it, while the Archbishop of LA is not showing up. I have a problem with that. I have a huge problem with that. Why aren't you out there with your brother, Joseph Strickland? And God bless Joseph Strickland for having the courage to go out there and do that.
Yeah, he's a boss.
Flying all the way from Texas. Yeah. All the way from Texas, and the Archbishop from LA can't even waltz over, take a cab, get an Uber to come and show support for the people blaspheming Jesus Christ in one of the biggest spectator stadiums in the entire city?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. It's one of these things where it's just like, it is a matter of shame. It is a matter of shame. And it's a matter of needing Catholics to shame him for doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what it is. You know, I had an interview a few weeks ago, and it was either John Hughes or Rick Barrett down in Texas. And they mentioned, I guess, the Austin March for Life, which is a pretty big deal. Austin's not a small city. One priest showed up, you know, one priest wow. showed up for that March for Life. Ourselves. And that's it's a call out right now. It we're not disrespecting. You know, the hierarchy, we're calling them out.
Yep.
You know, we're going to call them. I'm going to call them out. But, you know, there's no lack of prayer for them. There's no lack of charity for them. But I think that a lot of these priests and a lot of these bishops are so insecure, and they're worried, you know, that if they do, what's the church going to do? Instead of just having that blind faith, that knowing the right thing, you're defending God's church and God's people. That speaks for itself.
We're loving the hierarchs by criticizing them for their clear errors. That is what loving our hierarchs means. Because you know what? Not only, see, this is what people don't understand. The church is the church is very much like the family. The bishop is over his diocese as a father is over his children.
Yeah.
Meaning he is accountable
Absolutely.
For all of this stuff. He's
yeah.
accountable for all of these failures. The Archbishop of LA is accountable for allowing that event to happen and yeah. not doing everything in his power to prevent it from happening, to showing up and denouncing and all that stuff. He is racking up points in hell. Mm-hmm. He's just yeah. descending circle by circle by circle lower into the pits of hell by doing those sorts of things at his final judgment if he doesn't atone for them. So yeah. calling him out is to love him, guys. Being there
absolutely.
And saying, we are Catholics. We are the laity. We are each the head of our domestic church. We are the future of the church. The hierarchy could, you know, just remain completely corrupt. We can have a more modernist, you know, we could have more modernist cardinals than we've ever had before. You know, we can have a more modernist pope. We can have all of those different things that exist in the church. The domestic church will always be there for us to correct. We can correct course. We can, and this is what I tell people, the culture war, guys, it's over. We lost. The culture war is over. We lost. Now we get into the building up an army phase. And what does that mean? That means getting married. It means having as many kids as you possibly can and raising them in a domestic church that teaches the authentic Catholic truth. And eventually those people will grow in number and they will outnumber the degenerates that are using birth control, contraception, sterilizing their kids with transgender surgeries, not having kids because, you know, they're afraid of climate change or whatever the hell the stupid excuse that they come up with is to not have kids. We will outnumber them and we can start turning things around maybe in a couple centuries. But in the meantime, fight. And stay in the fight, set an example for those young people because they are the future.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, absolutely. That's you want to, you know, win the war on modernity, like you said, get married, have a bunch of kids, raise them up right. Coming up, we have to take our second break. Stick around. We're talking to Joe Enders from Red Top Report, and we'll be right back.
On January 31st, 2019, Carolina Catholic Media signed on Charlotte's first Catholic radio station, AM 1270 WCGC. By the grace of God, we celebrate the past 4 years and look forward to continuing our apostolic vision and mission to serve the Carolina Catholic community. We are evangelistic partners with our clergy, active parishioners, the fallen away, and the homebound. We are accessible to all Christians, agnostics, and atheists. With distribution of a wide array of content across 7 media platforms, there truly is something for everyone. During these past 4 years, Carolina Catholic has expanded to 7 media platforms that include radio, internet stream, mobile app, website, YouTube, social media, and e-newsletter. Nearly all local programs are available by podcast and video on demand. In the year ahead, we're committed to promote more local parish, school, and ministry events, more live broadcasts, and more valuable content that showcases our dynamic local Carolina Catholic community. Of all the Catholic radio stations in the U.S., Carolina Catholic is arguably a leader in locally produced programs. To continue our work, Carolina Catholic Media needs $15,000 in monthly funding to continue operations across our 7 media platforms. We are 100% dependent on your generosity. If you love what we're doing, please join us with a monthly tithe or annual gift. We have partnership plans available for parishes, schools, and ministries. If you own a business, you can be a program sponsor on one or all of our platforms. You can do a live broadcast of a special event with promotion before and rebroadcast after. On behalf of everyone at Carolina Catholic Media, we thank you for your past support and look forward to you joining us with the resources the apostolate needs to continue to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith across the Carolinas. May God bless you and your family abundantly.
Back. Thanks again for sticking around, having a great conversation with Joe Enders from Red Top Report from Church Militant. Joe, we've covered a lot of ground here. You know, we've talked about suffering. We're talking about the charitable act of correction, you know, and setting a good example, especially those church leaders, those bishops, those priests. As, you know, Fulton Sheen said, you know, it is the duty of the laity. And that seems very foreign, you know. A lot of neckbeards will fight that, and a lot of liberal Catholics will fight that. Oh no, you know, that's the priest, that's the bishop, and by all means, we are praying for our priests and our bishops, but we are not going to just sit back and let them fall into error. Like, I mean, that's our response. That guilt will also fall on us if we sit by silently, you know. So it's a very important part for Catholics, and I mean. Just looking at some numbers. I mean, what's the number of Catholics in the United States right now? It's like 60, 70 million or something.
Yep.
If you start chipping away a number with actual belief, I mean, right off the top, you can slash 70% who don't even believe in the Blessed Sacrament and the real presence. And then from there, it disintegrates even further with, you know, weekly church practice and adherence to tenets of the faith. And when it comes down to it, you know, when Scripture talks about the remnant, we are that remnant, and I that's not in a prideful, arrogant way, but you know, for those who are adhering to what the church has done at least 1500 years, there aren't many. But I have said before, there aren't many of us, but there is enough of us.
Yep. But and you know, it's interesting that you said there are around 60 million Catholics in the United States. Let's just put this into perspective for a moment here. Joe Biden in the presidential election in 2020, he got 81 million votes. So you're telling me that Catholics, who make up roughly, I want to say 24% of the U.S. population, I don't remember number they are, but I think that that's about 24%. Okay, so they're only 24% of the electorate. If every Catholic followed their faith and showed up to vote, Joe Biden would be obliterated. Hmm. He would be obliterated polls. We're talking tens of millions of votes obliterated.
That's right.
That's the importance of catechesis. That's the importance of spreading the faith. It can cause real world change. Don't believe me? Go look at the apostles who managed to convert an entire empire, the largest empire unified by one language, I want to say, in human history.
Yeah.
And they converted that empire in a matter of 300 and something years. In a matter of 300 years, we have the internet now. They did that when there was cobblestone roads and snail mail. You're telling me we can't do it in two?
Yeah.
That is the power that Christian faith has. That's what the power of faith in Jesus Christ has. That's what the power of the guidance of the Holy Spirit has. And I've told people this for the longest time. You need to be fighting for the Father. You need to be fighting for the Father through the Son. And you need to be doing it with the Holy Spirit residing within you. Be in a state of grace. Get to confession. Receive the Eucharist. Go to church. Praise the Father.
Yeah, men have to lead. We have failed. Man has failed at leading his family. He's failing at leading his church. This lack of fatherhood, which is certainly a huge catastrophe. It's an epidemic in our world, not just in the Catholic world, just across the board. The lack of a father figure. And I would go even further, not just the physical, because that's a huge piece, you know, having the father there present, just his existence in the home and his by nature, his creation by nature that exudes manliness in the majority, most men, the way they should, just that existence helps to temper, behaviors and just things that our kids are going to do. But even further, the not necessarily just the physical, but the men have checked out mentally, not present, consumed with themselves in this world that just wants us to satisfy ourselves, consumed with whatever porn, consumed with sporting events, distractions, whatever it may be, to just entertain himself, work. The consumption of work and the addiction to work, aside from any other, addictions of drugs or alcohol. I mean, just that there. And I'm guilty of that in times in my life where I was so consumed that I didn't adhere to and didn't take responsibility for what I was supposed to, because I was excusing it. Well, I'm the provider. I'm the protector. I need to go out. All the while I'm ignoring, my kids standing there. Maybe with somebody, hey, daddy, look at this. Hey, daddy, can I ask you about this? Yeah, not now. And that now may never come.
And you know what? This is the important thing that people need to recognize, because the spiritual part of your marriage and your family is perhaps the most important thing. You look at the thing that breaks apart families. You can look at the divorce numbers when a couple does not attend mass at least, or does not attend church at least weekly, and does not pray together nightly. Oh, the number goes down by like 60-70%.
Yeah.
It's insane. The divorce rate of people that pray together and people that and people that go to church at least weekly is like 5 or 8%. That's the divorce rate, guys. Yeah. Talk about the name of your show. Yeah, that's obligation. Yeah. Your obligation is to God you and your wife is on this side, the husband is on this side, and Christ is up there, part of it, in that relationship, the three-person relationship that is marriage.
Yeah.
You are secure. You are protected. It poverty won't defeat you. Nothing will defeat you.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's very true. Our families, that is what the enemy has used against society. That was the foundation. That was the bedrock. And he's chipped and chipped and chipped away. And the only way it's going to be rebuilt is to rebuild that bedrock. And that begins, at home. And that begins with men. And that begins with this conversation right here. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the Martyrs Walk, and other men's organizations out there that are hoping to inspire and to remind a man what he is capable of, because we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue at all what we're capable of. We've been so conditioned and softened and bubble wrapped that we can, I don't even know how to put it into words. You might be able to better explain, but we just don't have an understanding of what we're capable of. We're so limited. We limit ourselves, right?
We all go, it all goes back to how we deal with our suffering. once you master suffering well, I wrote this in my article. It's like the first line, guys. You are invincible. You cannot. You're gonna go through some bodily death at some point in your life. I don't mean invincible as you're going to live forever, this, that, and the other with your body, you know, running around. No bullets can go through your body or anything like that. What I mean by invincible is that suffering cannot penetrate your soul, and that when you do die, your soul will be in heaven, united, you know, beholding the beatific vision for eternity. That's what I mean by invincible. And men can be invincible. Men are capable of being invincible. In fact, God made men to be invincible.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about.
That's right. Yeah. You know, that's our goal, you know, with the martyr's walk is to bring a man, take him out of his comfort zone, to expose him to some of the most difficult challenges mentally, physically, and spiritually, so that you know. You won't know if you don't go. And I don't mean that to the martyr's walk, but I do mean it to the, you know, if you don't go to the martyr's walk, you won't. But I mean it in a metaphoric way, that you will not know what you are capable of until you get close to what that is. You know, if you're a runner, you will never, you know, get to that 4 minute mile if you don't get to the 4 minute and 30 second. You know, it's a continual chipping away and working at. So we take these men, we want to bring them to as close. We're not trying to kill anybody. So don't get scared out there, but we want that mental, you know, the human brain believes it's dying at like 40% pain capacity. Okay. So we're going to push that. We're going to push that as far as we can without permanently injuring or without killing you. We're going to bring you there. And each man is different. You know, you're going to be different than I am. You know, the guy down the street, you know, he may be able to be pushed even further mentally, but you might be able to be pushed further physically. So we're going to work with each man individually. It's not a race, not a competition. The only competition is against yourself. So we are going to bring them there. And my favorite analogy is kind of telling the kid, like, don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove, and be at a helicopter pilot or parent. And then all of a sudden your kid goes and lays his hand and, you know, scalds the hand. And I'm okay. And I know I've probably been accused of being, child abusive, you know, to my kids, but I'm okay if my kids touch the stove. I don't mean grab on to the hot, you know, irons there on the top, but I mean, you know what? Go ahead. You know, you're not going to know if you don't go. You're not going to know that you're capable of so much more, and you're capable of running to the noise, whatever that may be. It may be the noise of someone actually coming into your church or into your grocery store who's laying down some serious noise with. But I'm speaking more specifically on the noise of your life. When the house gets noisy, when the boss is a jerk, when someone cuts you off in traffic, if you can't rise to that occasion, how can you rise to anything more?
And that's the thing, you know, when push comes to shove, we are called to martyrdom, whether it be red martyrdom or whether it be white martyrdom.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to be red martyred at the moment of your death, you're not going to get there. I mean, it's that simple. You are going to die for Christ, whether you like it or not, you know? And if it comes in the form of an axe coming down on the back of your neck, so be it. If that's what it is, if it comes through the form of you having to suffer through a cancer and a long fought pain and suffering, also, so be it. But no matter what happens, you're going to be going through an immense amount of pain at your death. And if you look at it from that perspective, getting your head chopped off by an axe just doesn't really sound like it's that big of a deal. And that'll give you strength, and that will make you fearless, and that will make you invincible. I mean, it's just when you put everything into perspective and you do actually accept the authentic Catholic truth that Jesus Christ is our Savior, that he did come to make war against the devil on earth and establish his everlasting kingdom.
Yeah.
You're going to be all right. You'll make it.
Well, we started it, you know, with, you know, will you die Catholic?
Yeah.
Will you die Catholic? Think on that, you know, those up. It sounds like an easy. Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 But no, really think on that, especially in the noise of the world around us and the temptations. Joe, I'm going to go ahead and give you, you know, final closing thoughts, you know.
Look, guys, you know, I really just want to instill this in you. Suffer well, become invincible.
Amen, brother. Joe Enders, Red Top Report. Go out there, look him up, subscribe, like, follow. Where can when folks go out there and find you guys?
Yeah, you can go on YouTube. Just type Red Top Report in the search bar. We'll be the thing that comes up. You can check us out. You can also follow us on Twitter. Ronan, at Red Top Report.
That's correct.
Yeah, at Red Top Report. You can also follow us on Twitter as well. Same handle, right?
Yeah, yeah, same Instagram handle. Same handle, yeah.
Yeah, and that's pretty much, we have a TikTok too. So I guess you could try going on the TikTok. Where I'm kind of a boomer on that. I haven't really figured it out entirely yet, but it's all right. We'll figure it out.
Well, and if you also want to get to know him a little bit better, you might be able to find him on the Martyrs Walk this fall.
You will. I can't make it to the next one. I can't make it to the next one in August, guys. I wanted to. Ronan wanted to too. Yep. That it just so happens to be the week I'm getting married. So right. I'm going to be a little busy at that time.
That's right.
But we do plan on doing this, and we will do whatever we can to show you guys that we did do it. I don't know what type of, you know, a camera you allow. And I'm going to make you a promise just so I hold myself to it on my word. My body will stop working before I stop trying to complete everything you try to put it on. Awesome.
You won't know if you don't go. Die to sin, die to self, live for God, the Martyr's Walk. Joe Enders, great being with you, my friend, and I know we will be it. And everybody out there, thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next week. God bless, and esto vir.